Well, good morning again. Today we are continuing a series we started last week called Faith at Home. Last week we talked about the fact that home is not simply where we live. It's households of every kind, whether a single student in a shoebox apartment or an apartment with a roommate or as a married couple unable to make rent, or as a first-time home buyer or as a family with young children, an empty nester, a widow, or even some sort of unstable housing situation. These are all places we call home, and they're the places where God forms us. But today, this week, we're talking about the environment that we form for others. So let's turn our Bibles together to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 17 this morning as our scripture passage. Paul writes this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, this passage sounds absolutely beautiful. It's very memorizable. It has a very verse of the day feel to it if you have your Bible app sending those each morning. But it is also absolutely devastating because of what it reveals. If this is a picture of what should be happening in our homes, in our churches, and in our communities, then what is actually happening? Fractured relationships and broken homes permeate. They are everywhere. And therefore, that word that began our passage today is referring to some verses that preceded it. In verses 5-9, Paul says this: "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." We have countless pictures throughout the Bible from Genesis and onward of the consequences of sin, which is ultimately fractured relationships. It's with Adam and Eve and their children, Cain and Abel, and with Abraham, and throughout the entire Old Testament and beyond. And this has not changed. Broken homes are widespread today. Statistics and research show that roughly 3 in 4 high school students are in homes with substance abuse or physical and verbal abuse or other issues known as ACEs. And about 20% of high school students are in homes with 4 or more simultaneously. I know many of us have experienced broken homes. Certainly my wife and I have. We were raised in homes plagued by alcoholism, verbal and physical abuse at times, multiple divorces, poverty, my parents raising their own grandchildren. And hopefully you don't have a past like this, but I bet you know someone who does. We are stuck in a world that does not reflect the image of God. So how do we break the cycle? Well, first we start with the vision that Paul has laid out, God's vision for restored relationships in homes and churches and communities. Paul tells us to be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. And this is reflected throughout Jesus' life in the Gospels. There are countless stories like the woman at the well or the adulterous woman who everyone wanted to stone, and Jesus did not condemn them. He showed them kindness and gentleness and forgiveness. In his parables, like the unmerciful servant who was forgiven an unfathomable sum and then turned around and did not forgive otherwise, or in the story of the prodigal son, Jesus embodied this by washing his own betrayer's feet and sharing bread with him at the table the night before his crucifixion. And even while dying in an agony on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. These virtues that are in our passage today are bound together by one thing, and that's love. And we don't mean the touchy-feely, kumbaya kind of love. We're talking about real godly love that overcomes the darkest darkness and binds all of these virtues together in perfect unity. In another of Paul's letters, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." And Jesus himself tells us in the Sermon on the Mount to love our enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And our reward will be great, and we will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Well, how do we do that? That's admittedly not my go-to response when I find myself in conflict, or when I'm disciplining my children, or when someone is being unkind to me. And it seems impossible because it is. It might even seem a bit naive or idealistic or even foolish. But Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, tells us God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. It is only in the power of Christ that we can even hope to rise to this. And it starts by Christ changing us on the inside in order to affect what happens on the outside. We must be grounded in our identity in Christ. And there are key words smattered throughout today's passage: that we are chosen, that we are holy and set apart, that we are dearly loved, that we are forgiven, and that we are members of one body. Paul accompanies this identity with some practical instructions. Clothe yourself with these virtues. Bear with one another. Forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, verse 16 could be a whole sermon series all on its own, but I'll try to be quick with this today. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit, depending on your translation. I had the privilege of teaching a couple of sessions of the Agape class about a year ago, and we walked through a book by Keith and Kristen Getty called Sing. Keith and Kristen Getty are the writers of the famous modern hymn written in 2001, In Christ Alone. And in this book, they have a chapter titled Commanded to Sing. And they write this: there are more than 400 references to singing in the Bible, and at least 50 direct commands to do so. We are not to disregard the command because we don't like the music, or the personnel, or are not in the mood. And therefore, singing must be a part of our discipline. Paul tells us to teach and admonish one another through it. Last week's passage, Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, implies that we should be teaching one another through teaching our children in the home, and Paul connects the dots here, through singing. We should be singing at home in order to teach our families and our spouses. And singing in the church certainly is important. Let me read another passage from this book. So as we obey the command to sing, we are, or should be, unleashing a congregational sound of conviction, whether there are a dozen of us or thousands of us. And if we aren't, our children or visitors looking on have every right to wonder if what we are singing is truly important to us. In this sense, our singing betrays the truth about us, for better or for worse. Singing is serious business. And this is displayed perfectly in this verse. We are commanded to sing. And then Paul follows this in verse 17 by telling us to sing with gratitude in our hearts. Finally, Paul tells us whatever we do, whether in word or deed. And let's pause there. In word is rather important in our Presbyterian church because we define all of worship as sacrament and word. I was taught as a kid that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. And I've never heard something more foolish in my life. Words are far more powerful than sticks and stones. Proverbs 17 tells us, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And words are not just face-to-face. We are online today. We have social media. We have emails. Proverbs 15 reminds us that a soothing tongue, including online, is a tree of life. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. I ask us online, as well as person to person, are we soothing or are we crushing? In the face of any conflict, just a few verses before that, Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. But remember what Paul tells us. We must put them all away, anger, wrath, and malice. We must meet this with a gentle answer, a soothing tongue. And this should be reflected not only in our words, but our deeds, Paul tells us. In other words, we should practice what we preach. Are we modeling this in our homes and in our church and in our communities? James chapter 1. Be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. If anyone thinks he is religious but does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and this person's religion is worthless. Our words and our deeds, what does Paul say? Should all be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was humble and compassionate and kind. Let me conclude with these thoughts. I learned in defensive driving, I can only control myself. We cannot control other people or their homes or the way in which they were formed. So I must start with myself. Am I contributing to brokenness in my home, community, and church, including online? Or am I contributing to God's vision for these areas? Do I remember who I am in Christ? That I am chosen. I am holy. I am dearly loved. I am forgiven. And I'm a member of a unified, of one body. We reflect God's image when we are clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving others, unifying others through love, expressing gratitude. And for those beyond their own control who find themselves in a difficult home situation, whether that's their family or their community or even their church, I hope you are encouraged by the words that we heard the choir sing just moments ago. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead, and God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. This is what we are striving for here at FPC, albeit imperfectly. But this is why Pastor John says every Sunday, welcome home. So whatever we do, wherever we do it, and whoever we do it with, let us do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning knowing that we are broken and that we spread brokenness. But Lord, we ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through our identity in Jesus Christ, to clothe us in yourself, in kindness, gentleness, humility, forgiveness, and all of these other wonderful virtues that Paul shares with us in this letter. And Lord, as we sing, we pray that your teaching may come forth. And therefore, we pray to you the words of this song. For the different ways we see you, for all the ways that you move, all the colors and expressions, the beauty of your church. What a masterful reflection when we are unified, truly celebrate each other and let go of our pride. Lord, we surrender our agendas, our preferences, our plans. Would you have us work together to be your feet and hands? Our heart is to know you and to show them who you are, that the gospel is still the answer for every searching heart. Praise you, Father. Praise the Son. Holy Spirit, make us one, every nation, tribe, and tongue. This is our cry. Your kingdom come. And we pray these words in Christ's name. Amen.